B-Pod Studios.
No one says it like they do.
What do you mean?
Well, what do you mean?
Felger and Maz.
I'm just making it up. Totally making it up.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Is something close on Charlie?
Yeah, Don and Evan have been working with Charlie's camp the last couple of days, so my hopes are we'll see something here in short order, but you never know until it's signed on the dotted line.
You know, from where Cam stands in terms of his quote, I haven't read it, but from the standpoint of whether or not we would like to have Charlie signed, I think that goes without saying. Even Charlie commented a couple weeks ago that he's aware of the marketplace and aware of maybe what his position on the team is, and we would like to. Those deals take time. As you do with every different player, being in communication with every different agent is no different how we try and do business.
And Don Sweeney said nothing is imminent. So little difference of opinion there, or not exactly on the same page. That was interesting yesterday. I'm going to give you a quick Bruins preview segment here. And you can weigh in if you like. It's 617-779-0985. This is a future topic. It's not a this season topic, but I think it was the big news item yesterday where Cam Neely says they're close with Charlie McAvoy. I mean, you can't say anything until you sign on the dotted line, but it's close. It's like, for all intents and purposes, I heard Neely and I said, well, this is done. McAvoy is going to be announced here in the next couple of days. And then Sweeney says, I don't know what Cam said, but nothing's imminent. So who the hell knows? My guess is Sweeney's keeping it close to the vest and Neely just spilled the beans because Neely's a little more forthcoming with information.
That's what I think too. Yeah, my guess is that, because again, I don't think Neely's going down that road, and I, you know, if you ask me to give you a specific instance, I don't know that I could, but I feel like Neely in the past has sort of given some foreshadowing on other things when they've happened.
So I think that's coming down the pike for Charlie McAvoy. I think it's kind of a no-brainer. He's going to be your franchise player, the face of the franchise going forward. I think the market's pretty clear. There's a smattering of young defensemen that have signed, 6, 7, 8 year deals for $9 million plus a year. That's what he's going to be. 7 years, $70 million, something like that.
It's a no brainer for the team. Is it a no brainer for the player though? I don't think so. If I'm McAvoy, I wait. I consider waiting until the off season. I bet on myself. And what if he comes top 2 or 3 in votes for the Norris Trophy? Then you're going to be looking at 10 a year.
He could make more if he waits.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. He could make more if he waits.
I'll tell you though, in that league, I would put a value on being in a hockey place. You know, I don't want to say a hockey town because it's corny.
No, but it is.
But yeah, like, there's value in playing here.
What does it mean to you to be here? Well, you know, you're from Long Island. You went to BU. This place matters. It's a good place. Guys like it here. It is a destination in the league. And I'm just play around with it. For 7 years, $70 million. 7 years, $70 million here. Or you go to Carolina for 7 years and $80 million. Like, is it worth it to you for that extra million plus a year?
I mean, to me, it wouldn't be.
So, and the Bruins over the years have done a good job of keeping their guys sort of on that sort of premise. I mean, they've gotten Marchand, Pastrnak, Taylor Hall. Now they've gotten a bunch of guys at what you would consider below market deals. All those guys could have gone to market and gotten more. So this has really been a strength of Don Sweeney. Not that 7 years and $70 million is any bargain. It kind of scares me. I mean, McAvoy, that's what he deserves. That's what he's going to get. He better be good. He better start scoring more. And he better truly become that two-way defenseman. Right now, I think he's a little more defensive than offensive, which is fine. I love his game, and I think he's going to be a guy. But, you know, he was fifth in Norris last year. For him really to be a Norris guy, he's got to score more. And he'll be on the first power play this year, and so maybe that'll come. But either way, again, this is a future topic, so I just want to get it off the board. Neely was also asked about Patrice Bergeron, who has said he's going to go year to year and he's going to address his contract after the year. Here's Neely on that.
I give Bergie a ton of credit, which, you know, happens a lot around here. He wasn't just jumping at an extension, without really knowing if he was going to be able to commit the time and energy that he has to be the player that he is. Played a lot of hockey, has had some significant injuries in his career. So I think he really wants to, and rightfully so, see how he feels at the end of the year and see if he still has the passion and the drive to be the player that he'd like to be. You know, we're going to give him all that time and space as needed. I certainly would love to see him continue, but we'll see where it goes.
I mean, I think this is kind of a big one.
Yeah. That sounds like retirement's on the table.
Absolutely.
Go ahead.
I mean, I don't know how you can hear that and not hear, well, he could also consider retiring, given that he's getting up there in age. He's, what, 36, 37 years old. He's taken a beating. He talks about the injuries. He could get to the end of the year and tell them, look, guys, it's been a good run, but I'm done.
Yeah, look, again, we're talking about a guy who's the captain of the team now. And, you know, you have a shortage there of players at that position. Krejci just walked out the door. This guy goes out the door. Charlie Coyle's your number one center. Stanika, in theory, is going to be number two or number three. But he clearly is not fully ready to take that mantle. So this is something you should, you know, should be on your radar, and you should be a little worried about it.
Again, future topic for this year. Patrice Bergeron's in, but could be his last year. And I tied into the McAvoy thing because face of the franchise, whose team is it? You know, I think we're looking at this transition now, but from Bergeron to McAvoy. And I don't know if McAvoy gets the C. I was reading the Fluto the other day. He said, that's Marchand. Marchand's your next captain. So, if you care about who wears the C, that's one thing. But the face of the franchise, the guy, it's McAvoy. And so it's going to cease to be Bergeron. It's going to become McAvoy. The question is this Bergeron's last year? That sure as hell sounds like it. He's not sure if he can commit the time and energy to keep playing at the level he's played at, says Neely. And, you know, when anyone who the team wants to sign says, no, I'm going to play out the year, that usually means the guy's gone. So if you just want to go based on history, Bergeron's probably gone and probably retirement, but hold out a little bit of a percentage chance that they're just going to move on from him like they moved on from Chara, like they've moved on from Krejci, like I hope they've moved on from Rask. I mean, I don't know. Like, they've sort of piece by piece moved on from these old core guys. And put it on the player every time, by the way. Yeah, Chara, we gave him an offer. He wanted to go somewhere else. And, yeah, we want Krejci back, but he wants to go speak Czech in the Czech Republic with his kids and his grandparents. And, yeah, the door's open for Dukes, but he's not healthy. And every time the team is putting it on the player, and I wonder if it's just really the team, and they don't have the guts to say we want to move on from these guys, and they're letting the guys take the fall for it.
Yeah, or they've told them, you know, if you want another deal, it's going to be half of what you're making now.
Okay. More importantly, this year, how do you feel about the team, Mass?
So I'm concerned about the D-Corps more than anything else. I mean, look, overall, do I think they're going to be fine and competitive? Do I think they're a playoff team? Yeah, I do. But do I think that they have enough and they've done enough to fortify their weaknesses to go up against the iron of the conference, whether that be Tampa Bay or the Islanders, who obviously, you know, bounced them in six games last year? I don't know. I mean, I'd still look at the D-Corps and I say, do you know who the third pairing is?
Yeah, it's probably Connor, Clifton, and Grzelcyk.
Yeah. How do you like the size on that pairing?
Not, I don't.
Tiny. Tiny. And so, you know, Riley's going to be with Carlo. I'm okay with that in the middle. Forbort, I don't know. He's going to be with McAvoy. We'll see what that looks like. I just don't think they have enough horses back there. So now, look, it's early in the year. I suppose you could add bodies during the year. We'll see what the hell happens there. But they don't feel better there to me. They feel worse.
They'll be what they usually are. They'll be really competitive. They'll maybe win a round. They'll let us down in the second round. Like, maybe they go on a deep run, but I don't think that they're going to be winning any kind of cup. And I'm already, you know, maybe I'm putting too much in some of the preseason performances. Only watched really one of these games, read about them. But this Ullmark guy, I am ready to despise. This new goalie. And I just wish they would go with this kid, Jeremy Swayman, who already looks like he's better in net.
So I feel like that's the lead story.
Oh, boy, is it ever.
And you both hit on it because they don't have enough in back. They haven't had enough in back for a while. And it's been glaring. It's been obvious. And here they are gifted with this situation where they've got a good young goalie, and that's cheap. And this is a hard cap league. It's a real cap league. And if you can be cheap in net, if you can have small, it's like having a cheap quarterback in football. If you've got a goalie on a rookie contract who doesn't make anything, but he can play, that is a gift from the hockey gods. You then have money to spread around on your roster. And this is what the Bruins had. And you know what they do? They took that money and spent it on another goalie, which is the wrong move, even if Linus Ullmark can play. If Linus Ullmark can play and Swayman's still good, that's still the wrong move.
Right. I'll hate the contract, not the player.
Exactly.
If Linus Ullmark, is it Linus or Linus?
Linus. Either way.
Linus. If Linus Ullmark sucks, oh my God, that's a disaster.
It is a disaster.
That's a disaster. You need another defenseman. You had the money to get another defenseman, and you spent it on a goalie you didn't need. What are you doing?
Yeah, totally. I mean, massive, massive mistake.
Horrible.
And he sucked in the preseason.
I don't know what Neely and Sweeney's problem is with the goaltender thing, but when it comes to net, they suck. Cassidy, put Cassidy on the list too. Cassidy, the power, the brains trust down there, blows. They're leaving the door open for Rask. They wouldn't sit down Rask last year when he was begging to be sat and needed to be sat. They were afraid to do it then. They were afraid of just giving the net to the rookie this year and pairing him with a nice cheap veteran. No, they had to go out and sign a starter for real money because they were petrified of the kid. They are sackless when it comes to the goalie position. And I think it was a horrible, it pisses me off, frankly.
That should be the line of demarcation this year for the U.S. Thanksgiving, Mark. Will we hate the Linus Ullmark contract by U.S. Thanksgiving?
Okay. They'd have been better off going with Swayman and Vladar.
Yes, yeah, yes, sure. They would have. Yep. Yes, they would have. And if you're leaky back there, then at the trade deadline, go find your guy.
Exactly.
But why do you have to commit $5 million a year? Is it 4 or 5 years for
four.
This? 4 years, $5 million a year when you've got the next guy. And apparently, Swayman's been great this preseason, and Ullmark hasn't been able to stop a beach ball. And Swayman's probably going to start the year because Ullmark isn't ready. It's like, what are you doing?
The guy crapped his pants in the preseason. He sucked.
Good God. Okay, yeah. All that being said, what?
Linus Skidmark.
All that being said, I think they're going to be good. I think they're going to be good. Not great, good. As Murray sort of said, they're good up front. I just feel like pointing it out from time to time when people think they're going to stink. Taylor Hall skating on your second line. You have a league MVP skating on your second line. That's pretty good. And I do think Coyle's going to fill in for Krejci. I think you're going to be okay there. They really improved their bottom six between Foligno and this Nosek and
Howla.
All right, these guys. So it's blocking young guys like Stunica, right? You're not getting any younger. That's true. But maybe your young guys can't play. Maybe the drafting hasn't been good enough, and maybe we don't want them to play. Maybe because this is Bergeron's last year, tying this all together, they went nuts in free agency. They didn't spend on a star other than the stupid goalie, but they spent a lot of money in free agency.
They did.
It's the most Sweeney's ever spent. It was just on bottom six guys. And so maybe they are, quote-unquote, built to win this year. And that's sort of the approach. I think they're going to be good. I think there's going to be stretches in the season, as Murray said, where it's going to be the same thing, where they have one of the best records in hockey, and the Bobos are going to say, it's the best record in hockey, and you're going to get all geared up, and they'll puke on themselves in the second round because they're not big or sturdy enough in back. And that sort of feels like, where they're at. I don't think they suck. I think they're going to be pretty good. But not as good as they could have been. And that management of the goalie thing is just, that should piss you off. They had an opportunity there to really add where they needed. Instead, they spent where they didn't need. And that is, why? Why? Because you're just afraid of Swayman. We're back to the same spot we were last year. We're afraid of Swayman. And again, they're keeping the door open for these guys, which pisses me off too. All right, so there's your Bruins preview. Did you enjoy it? You can join us next after these words.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Do you believe in moral victories? A good loss? We'll get them next time.
No silver linings here on Felger and Mazz.
Then you are in the wrong place.
You have to accept that, so we...
Felger and Mazz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
You, at this point, anticipate that Tuukka or David could be back with the Bruins at all?
Well, the door is open. We'll see what happens. I mean, Tuukka's, going through his rehab process, and we'll see where that takes him. We told them both that the door is open if they do decide to try and come back, and then we'll see where it goes from there. But, that remains to be seen for both of them. It really depends on where they're at, both mentally and physically. From David Krejci's perspective, if he has an interest of coming back and leaving, I know the family situation was very important for him and rightfully so. So we'll see where it goes.
I hate that they're leaving the door open. Or maybe that's just bull crap. Because they pushed Char out the door, made it his decision. And maybe they're doing this. Maybe they did the same thing with Krejci. I think Krejci came down to a contract negotiation. He wanted to stay. They weren't paying him or offering him anywhere near what he wanted. And so he maybe the only guy I've ever known to follow through on the threat of saying, I'm just going to go play in Europe. He actually went and did it.
I wouldn't mind the door being open for Krejci, but for Rask, shut it and put the chair underneath the doorknob so you can never open the thing. Make sure it can never be opened.
I mean,
slam
so
it shut.
Maybe the team, just for PR reasons, wants it to look like these guys quit instead of being fired. Again, they did it to Chara. Maybe they did it to Krejci and Rask, and maybe they're about to do it to Bergeron. Who knows? But it's time to move on. It's time to move on. And if Coyle's not the guy, then you're going to have to address that. But I think Krejci's reached a shelf life. He hasn't elevated. He used to be the guy that elevated in the postseason. And as he went, you went, and all of this. Well, look at his playoff numbers. You know, once you get past the first couple games, the last several years, he's not quite the guy that he used to be. He might be better than Coyle. But for how much longer? And it's still not good enough. So I'm okay moving on there. And I'm really okay moving on in net. Oh, please, can we just be done with this?
I mean, the net one is more frustrating, you know, that they would be willing to keep the door open for Tuukka because they have a young guy ready to go. But, Mike, the fact that they're quote-unquote leaving the light on for these guys is an indictment on the fact that they don't have young guys ready to jump in.
Well, the problem is in net they do. You know,
well, right.
And that's the shame, and they don't see it. They don't see it or want to accept it, or they're afraid to do it. And that's a problem there. At center, you might be right. But either way, they do have to evolve. Again, I'm just hoping they're lying, that the door's not open. They're just putting it on the player. All right, to your calls, as promised. Brian in Fitchburg, go.
Mike, two quick comments on the Bruins. With the Valesky, Backes, those bad five-year, $5 million contracts, how is it that he walked into that office with Cam and the personnel and said, I want to give a mediocre goalie from Buffalo 5 years and $5 million? Does he have naked pictures with Cam and Nuno Betancourt? I mean, I don't understand. And the second comment, last night you saw a nice goal from a 19-year-old, Henrik, I think his name was Henrik LaPierre. Washington gave their young kid a shot, and they're trying to shove Anton Bleed and Carson Coleman down our throats, and these two kids suck.
I can't believe those guys are on the team. How long have we had to look at Anton Bleed come up here for a couple of games just to get sent back down after doing nothing? And Carson Coleman, I mean, again, you don't got anyone, any young guy that deserves that spot?
No.
Or maybe they're saying, like with Stunica, they're saying, I mean, Stunica's better than those guys. They want him to play center.
Right, exactly.
They want him to play center, and they want him to play in all situations. And if he's here, he's a third, fourth line winger, and they're like, well, he's better off being in Providence playing his normal role with all the minutes and all the situations than he is here playing on the third or fourth line. Okay, maybe I'll grant that. But, boy, your system must blow if Anton Bleed and Carson Kuhlman are still making the opening roster like this.
Their system does blow. And, look, this gets back to the whole thing with the money they spent on goalie. Wouldn't they have been better off not signing Haller or Nosek, you know, and then putting the other one on the fourth line and playing Stanika on the third line?
And then signing a defenseman.
Yes.
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 Yes. Yes.
Like using that money
yes.
that way.
Yes.
Play Stanika on the third line. Let him do it here.
Yes. Absolutely.
They, you know, sign one of those two of Nosek and Haller, put him on the fourth line, and then put the money in the D core.
They need another D. Ben in East Providence. Go ahead.
Yeah, I think that your skid mark comment and the beach ball was pretty harsh but funny. I just think that Buffalo has become like that extra car that you keep around and you salvage it for parts. I know the Sabres are the same ownership as football. Why aren't they becoming a better team?
I don't care about the Sabres. I just care that we have their horrible goalie for $5 million a year.
I was stunned by that signing. Stunned. That one came out of nowhere.
I mean, you got these veteran floaters out there. Holtby, again, went somewhere for a couple million bucks a year. I know he's not the guy he used to be, but that's exactly the point. He's a veteran guy that is the guy to hold the hand of the young kid and split the time, and you don't pay him anything, and that's the idea. And there's a half dozen of those guys floating around the league, more. And you got to go sign like a real starter? And not that Ullmark is high-end starting money, but it's starting money. It's $5 million a year. Why? Because you're afraid of the kid? Why are you so afraid of a young goalie? Why, really, why? Matt in New Bedford. Go ahead, Matt.
So, Phil, I got a slight bone to pick with you. I guess you keep saying that, you know, Taylor Hall's on the second line. I mean, that's the only person we got. He really thinks that, Coyle's going to actually have the production of a second-line center. He hasn't historically, and I just want to know where your confidence comes from.
It's a projection. It's a projection. You're right. He's been a tease wherever he's been. And maybe he'll continue to be a tease. I don't know exactly who he played with in Minnesota. Okay, I can't tell you that. I don't think he played with someone like Taylor Hall. I mean, did he play with an MVP in Minnesota? You tell me. So he's playing with an MVP. And he's playing with a legit guy on his left side. And I think a decent guy in Craig Smith on his right. And the checking line is going to go to Bergeron. Bergeron's line, right? So any the good defensive pairings and the good defensive forwards are going to go to Bergeron's line. There should be room for Coyle and Hall to do something. And if it doesn't work out, it doesn't work out. But, I mean, what can I tell you? David Krejci was making $7-plus million. He was the highest-paid player on the team. You want to keep him at that kind of money? I mean, is that – I wouldn't have done that.
No, definitely not at that money, no.
Look, it might be the wrong plan, but at least they have a plan at that spot. They signed Coyle last year or the year before, whatever it was, with this in mind. He's going to be – he takes over for Krejci. They had it lined up. So they have a plan. They're ready for it. Maybe they have the wrong guy, and we'll find out in time. But, you know, at least they have a plan. I don't know what their plan is in back. I don't know what they're doing back there. Derek Forbort's on your first pair?
Yeah, scary.
Who? I mean, I say, with all due respect, and I mean, you know, disrespect the guy or the name, but he's just a guy. And all of a sudden he's getting first pairing minutes? And you have anything really ready to go back there?
And he's on the first penalty kill. So, he's going to be on the ice a lot.
So, I mean, that to me is the second guess on the team. Here's an update from Big Jim Murray. We continue. Patriots and Bruins. Back to your calls after this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
No thanks.
Felger and Maz.
Those guys are always trouble.
I want nothing to do with this guy.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
It's Felger and Maz. We're working our way to our Red Sox stuff today. Opened up Patriots Cowboys, gave you our Bruins preview. That's where we're at right now. Barbara in Beverly wants to talk Patriots. Hi, Barbara.
Babs. Hi, guys. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm firing the cannons. At any rate, I got to say, I've been watching the Dallas Cowboys. They are better than you guys think. Their coach blows. He's horrible. The worst coach, one of the worst coaches I've ever seen with the clock. Absolutely horrible. But it doesn't seem to matter. The talent is there. Dak Prescott is good. They have a good defense now with Micah Parsons and the other Diggs kid. It's pretty amazing. So I don't know about the Patriots, guys. Have a good one.
Okay, you too. No, we started off the show talking about how good they were. That if you drafted this matchup, again, you could take any, you know, draft the top 10 players between the two teams. Dallas probably has 9 of them. And it might be 10. Judon, if the criteria is that I only give you one quarterback, you can't take both quarterbacks.
Judon's for sure there for me.
Okay.
He's been awesome.
Then you give me another Patriot that you would take over Elliott, Lamb, Cooper. They've got 2 or 3 offensive linemen that are better than your guys.
No, there isn't one.
You know,
that's the thing.
Who's the defensive lineman again?
Gregory.
Gregory or Parsons, the Diggs kid in back. The next 9 are Cowboys.
Yes. Yeah, I don't think that's a stretch either. I think that in terms of talent, on paper, they blow you out of the water. You know, and they have you at the most important positions, too. Start with the most obvious one, quarterback. Their guy right now is one of the best 3 quarterbacks in the league. So this is another one. They have the quarterback. You have the coach. So, like, you know, we've had the quarterback here for how many years? So, again, I don't rule out that Bill could whip up something here and keep him in the game. I hope he can.
It's your only chance.
It is your only chance.
Or Dallas comes here and pukes on themselves.
Yeah, that's right.
Which, as I've said, also qualifies as a coaching win. If the other guy's just dumb, like last week, I think you won last week incredibly on coaching. Because the other guy and the other side just lost themselves. And you just stayed steady. And sometimes that's all it takes. You won a ton of games like that with Brady. So, but that I think that's what it's going to take this week. Kevin in the car on the Bees. Hi, Kev.
Hey, man. First of all, I have a bone to pick with Murray because he keeps coming up with these jingles. I used to sing 1-800-54-GIANT, and now all I do is go around the house going, oh, Felga, I really hate you, and I think Maz is a boob. So, Murray, please don't make him so catchy. But just one thought on McAvoy. Do you think he can raise his level again to be like a serious contender for the Norris? I know McCarr is great. Fox is a great young player. But I know they're weak back there, but I think if McAvoy can raise his game, maybe you can squeeze through. What do you guys think?
Okay, I think it's about scoring. I think defensively he's there. I think in his own end, he's Norris worthy already. I think his points have to go up. Now, a big thing for him is that up until last year, he didn't get a ton of power play time because that was usually Krug. So he's going to be on the first power play this year, and the points have to come. But in terms of the Norris thing, I mean, he was 10th in the Norris 2 years ago. He was 5th in the Norris last year. I see a line. I see a arrow pointing a certain way. And his points have been stuck in the right around 30, which is not, that's not elite. His points per year, 32, 28, 32, 30. And they're all roughly the same games played. So there's injuries in there. You know, that even includes the COVID year. So to be an elite defenseman offensively, it's got to be at least half a point. That's sort of the line of demarcation, something like 42 points a year, something, you know, in that range. And until he gets there, he's not going to be a Norris guy.
You have him all right in front of you there?
I do.
What about goals? Has he ever hit 10?
7.755.
Okay. Can he shoot the puck?
He definitely needs to shoot more.
And I think this goes hand in hand with the points. Shoot the freaking puck. And look, again, I like McAvoy. How do you not? But I think part of the problem is that, you know, he's a good assist guy. He'll make great passes. He'll set people up. He's got to shoot the puck more. You got to get double digits and goals out of him.
Matt and Braintree has a Patriots thought. Go ahead, Matt.
I'm just trying to struggle. I'm struggling to comprehend what exactly Belichick wanted here after we got rid of Brady. He's going to have two losing seasons. He barely beat the worst team in the league. And I want to know, like, did he tell Bob Kraft, like, Kraft was like, okay, we're going to let go of the greatest guy ever. What's the plan? And Belichick goes, well, we're just pretty much going to suck. Like, I don't understand what he wanted here. Like, we fall off a cliff. And if Maz could comment on this, I'd appreciate it. Thank you.
Okay, Maz.
Okay, so look, what I'm concerned about is as much to do with the drafts as anything else, and that's the one I can't get over. If they had a lot of young guys on the field that you said, okay, they're turning some sort of corner here, I don't feel that way, though. They had to go out and spend all the money they spent in free agency, and on top of it all, they are not playing like a well-coached, well-run team. The organization feels poorly managed right now. That's what it feels like. So that's a hard feeling to get by. Now, could it turn around? Of course. I like the quarterback. I don't love him. But do they have enough, like, do they have any elite talent?
No. I think Bill started to believe his own bullcrap like we did. Like a guy like I did. Just plug in a guy, coach him up, and, you know, get what you need out of him. And I think Bill believed he could do that across his roster.
And eventually can go so far, though. Like, you need actual talent.
Yeah. Well, but I'm just telling you his mindset.
Right.
I'll find the next guy. I'll plug him in. I'll coach him up. Give me any quarterback who could land in the top 15, and we'll win. I could have won with any quarterback in the top 15 the last 20 years, so I'll just keep doing that. And he overshot his ability. He overshot just how hard it is to win without an elite quarterback.
Yeah, and meanwhile, the league has changed and continues to evolve and change. And part of me wonders, you know, Greg Bedard talked about this. This whole idea of having these two-gap linemen, you know, holding people up and the linebackers who come in. And does that work anymore?
It feels antiquated to me.
I mean,
it feels like this field is spread and it's these spread formations and guys running around and throwing around all over the place. Who cares if you got a linebacker to take on a guard in the A-gap to stuff the run? Like, it's not the league.
Exactly.
Anymore.
Yeah, exactly. So I don't know. It could be a sort of a convergence of elements, but I'm alarmed by it.
Johnny in the car on the Bees. Hi, John. Johnny.
Yes, hello. A couple of quick questions, guys, and then I'll hang up to listen. The rookie goalie, his name is Swayman, correct?
Yes.
Yep.
Okay. What is his contract? How many years? And does he have a voice to say anything about what's going on? And I really think Cam Neely and Sweeney are very, just like Sinden at his very end, they're afraid of their own shadow with the Jacobs. I
would not compare the two. I think the thing that bothers me with the power structure right now, Sweeney, Neely, Cassidy, is how petrified they were just to give the net to Swayman, both last year and now. There's a hang up there. They're just afraid to give it to the kid. I think they made a real bad roster decision because of it. Harry Sinden was a whole nother thing. Okay, sorry. And they're spending money. Now that's not the issue. You're first saying Swayman's a rookie, so I don't even know what's the rookie contract. $1 million a year. They have him under team control for the next 3 or 4 years. More, I think, until like 6 or 7 years, right?
Something like that.
Then you hit arbitration in year 3, 4, whatever. They got him on good dollars for years. Years. Before they have to really start paying the guy. And that's a gift. That's a gift from the hockey gods. And they peed it away. And they beat it away because they still spent a net. It's unbelievable.
It really is unbelievable because, again, in a hard cap league, to have someone that you would qualify at a premium position for dirt dollars is a gift. It's an advantage, but you have to use it for it to be an advantage.
We will continue with your calls. I do want to hit on, NHL has gone to new network partners. They've hit ESPN and TNT the last couple of nights. I've checked in very briefly, but I have some thoughts, and we'll continue with your calls in our long commercial-free segment next.
Sports, Boston's home for sports, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Felger and Mass.
They've been incredibly consistent.
The only thing that's consistent is their inconsistency.
I don't think that's inconsistent.
Yeah, which is exactly what Murray said.
Am I misinterpreting it?
No.
Now, more Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Killorn backhands it out. And taken back by Marino.
Everything has to be quicker for Tampa Bay. Quicker to the puck.
Here's a great chance and a goal. Brian Boyle continues to be an amazing story. Had to try out for the team. Just was told he made it yesterday at age 36. And he has his first goal as a Pittsburgh Penguin. At 4:11 of the second period, they lead 2-0.
Sean McDonough on the call doing hockey. There it was. It's what it sounded like on ESPN two nights ago. Jimmy Stewart, has Sean ever done hockey before?
Yeah, he did a few. He did it like early 2000s, late 90s, something like that. Yeah, I've heard him do at the very least college hockey, if not professional hockey. He's good. I told you this months ago. He was good.
College, I remember. At NHL, I don't. When I heard it, I was like, whoa.
I don't remember the college hockey time. Oh, so on Nesson, when he did Red Sox, he would do Red Sox and like BU or something like that?
Probably Beanpot stuff.
What's that?
Beanpot stuff?
Yeah. Oh, Beanpot. There you go.
Yeah, I think so. But again, look, Sean's a good broadcaster, but him doing hockey to me was foreign.
I thought he sounded bored.
Oh, I disagree.
Really?
Yeah.
I thought he was good.
I told you he was going to be good.
I think he's exceptional. I think he's exceptional, whatever.
He's a good play-by-play guy.
Yeah. I could listen to him call bocce ball. Like curling. Well, I think he calls everything. I think he's terrific. But it is sort of, Jim, it's the Syracuse,
I love him on baseball. I love him on football. It just didn't feel like it fit to me. And I don't like that they're using John Buccigross on play-by-play either for ESPN. I like him. Go ahead.
Let's just stick with Sean here. Just give me another call. Give me that first call that I had.
Backhanded back in deep by Brian Rust. Carter blocked the clear by Vasilevsky and a goal. Sloppy play by Vasilevsky. And it was centered by Carter right onto the stick of Danton Heinen, who has a goal in his Pittsburgh Penguins debut.
Danton Heinen.
The quiet man. Shh. It's quiet.
Ryan Donato scored the first Kraken goal the other night. I think Sean's terrific. And I think it makes it sound big. He's legit. Like, I like McDonough on these games. So that was just my impression. Did you watch any of the ESPN broadcasts?
I've seen very little of it. Very little of it. And when I say it sounded foreign, I'm just not used to hearing him do hockey.
Yeah.
But he's a terrific play-by-play guy.
So that's your ESPN theme music.
I mean, the music's great. The production value's great. I don't know. Maybe it's just because I'm used to what I'm used to with the NBC broadcast. I really like that. I know they stopped giving a crap that last season, but I don't know, it's change rage. I'm like, I just want the NBC theme song, and I want what I want, and I want what I like, and what I'm used to, and it's a little jarring so far.
Okay, so I thought the ESPN broadcast did a really nice job trying some new camera stuff. And again, I just checked into it. I didn't watch all of it, so please, this is just on very little brief check-ins the last two nights. But they have this whole overhead thing on ESPN that is, I think, worthwhile. Like, you can kind of see plays develop from the corner or from overhead. I don't know if they got the cameras on the ropes or whatever, like the in the football, like the sky cam thingy. Yeah. Like, they might have something like that going on. So they're trying some new camera stuff. Also, sort of behind the play kind of stuff, more ice levely stuff that was different and worthwhile and worth exploring. I thought was good. And I also read that they're going to allow a handheld camera on the ice for shootouts.
Oh, that's cool.
So there's going to be...
Oh, that's a great idea.
Which makes perfect sense.
That's a great idea.
Like, well, how come someone didn't think of that sooner?
Yeah, they should have. That's a great idea.
Let a guy on the ice. Is that just a shootout? So they're going to push it a little bit on the camera stuff. Then I watched last night. So, like, I mean, I was okay with the ESPN thing. Fine. You know, it's Linda Cohen on the desk, and it's Melrose, who I think is useless, frankly. I like Steve Levy.
Barry Melrose can't talk anymore.
I just don't know what he brings to the table other than a haircut and silly suits, and I'm just not into him. And I seem like a perfectly nice guy. I don't mean to rip him, but I just, you know. But I think in general, I was okay with the ESPN thing. And the theme music is iconic, right? I mean, you can just feed that into my veins.
Sounds important. This game is important. This has always been good.
So that was that. Then I watched TNT last night, and I watched their pregame show and wanted to throw up in my mouth. If any of you watch this, you know what I'm talking about. Oh, my God. The grab-assery and the ball washing of Wayne Gretzky was just insufferable. The whole night was, we have Wayne Gretzky. Oh, do you realize we have Wayne? Here's Wayne, the all-time greatest player. And Wayne, what are you thinking? Oh, this kid just scored his first career goal in front of Wayne Gretzky. How do you feel about Wayne Gretzky and Wayne, the greatest ever? And Wayne, oh my God, it was brutal. And you know Wayne's not going to say anything because Wayne Gretzky is he's a father figure now. He was a legend of the game, and I don't know how I'm trying to say this. Like, he's not going to be throwing bombs out there. He's not going to be criticizing anyone, I don't think. And again, if he criticized people, I missed it last night, forgive me. But
he's an ambassador.
He's an ambassador. Thank you. That's the word. Thank you. Ambassador. He's an ambassador.
It's like Joe Montana. Has he ever said anything interesting?
No. Right, he's like, Mr. Hockey. He's not going in there and rabble rouse or say anything interesting or dig in there or criticize anyone. It's all just, it's Wayne Gretzky. Do you know we have Wayne Gretzky? Did we mention we have Wayne Gretzky? Here's Wayne Gretzky, everybody. Like, oh my God. He got to say an effing thing.
The great one becomes the mean one.
But it was just insufferable. Like, I had to turn it off. I'm like, all right, I got it. You have Wayne Gretzky there. Neat. I got it. Is someone going to say something? And it's Liam McHugh. So it's like it felt way too much NBC-like in terms of how it felt. On the call last night was Kenny Albert and Eddie Olczyk, and Keith Jones was at ice level. And Liam McHugh ran the panel, and the panel had Anson Carter on it, and they surround him with, oh, did I mention they have Wayne Gretzky?
Is the set the same?
No, it's so as the NBA stuff.
No. Are they standing like they did in the NHL
set? No. So they're sitting. It's TNT.
There's like five of them.
Okay, and it includes Rick Tocchet and then Paul Bissonnette. And this is because he's on Barstool, yeah. Right? Yep. So it's like this. I got a whole other side rant about this. It's like typical. This is like TV executive 101. This is why they pay these TV executives all this money. Because here's what they all do. Well, we have to reach the younger demo. Let's go get someone from Barstool. Like, what does it take? It's just, let's reach a young demo. Let's get someone on TikTok. Put them on the air. Oh, we need the young demo. Let's get someone from Barstool. Like, can you come up with something else other than that than just pulling the Barstool guy and putting him on because you want young demos? Like, why don't you come up with your own young guy that would appeal to a young demo versus stealing someone from TikTok or YouTube or Barstool to reach the young demo?
None of these companies are nurturing talent, though, Mike.
Oh, my God.
All they do is poach.
It's so cookie cutter. And I just want to clue you in. The people who want the Barstool thing are getting it on Barstool. Or the people who want the TikTok thing are getting it on TikTok. They're not going to turn on channel 831 to get their TikTok Barstool YouTube thing. They're getting that on TikTok, YouTube, and Barstool. It's so dumb. I feel like saying these TV executives or these radio people, every time they put on a YouTube star or a TikTok star, I'm like, why in the world would a kid who's consuming this on TikTok or YouTube turn on the effing FM radio to listen to or watch something they got on their phone? They're already consuming it on their phone, numbskull. They're not going to turn us on for the TikTok thing. If you want to appeal to a young person, put on something a young person might want to listen to on the FM radio. Don't poach a YouTube guy. They're already watching him on YouTube. I told you I have a whole rant about this. So, like, let's just pull, let's just yank the Barstool guy. Oh, here's an idea. Why don't you? They're already consuming him on Barstool. But anyway, so they have Bissonette on there to be the comic relief. Huh? Oh, grab ass, grab ass. Oh, did I mention we have Wayne Gretzky? Oh, it was insufferable. It's so disappointing. It's like TNT is the gold standard in basketball. You know why? Because Shaq and Kenny, I don't mean Shaq, I mean Barkley and Kenny dig into people. They dig into it. And yeah, there's certainly some grab ass, but they also get after it and they criticize people and there's a hard edge on that show. And you're not going to have it if you're just going to sit there and genuflect at the shadow of Wayne Gretzky. It's ridiculous. They threw Barkley out there for a few minutes, too. It's like,
yeah, they put him in goalie pads.
I mean, I had hopes for TNT because they get it on basketball. Are you going to get it on hockey or is it just grab-assery? And, oh, by the way, did I mention we have Wayne Gretzky? That's what the whole thing was.
Just quickly, did you like any of the presentation stuff in-game? As I liked the virtual clock on the power plays on the ice.
Okay, so I missed this. Tell me about this.
Oh, it's like how they do in the NBA. Like, they superimpose the power play time on the ice.
Cool.
So it's not in the corner. I like that.
Oh, good.
That's cool.
That's cool.
Yeah, that is cool. I haven't seen it yet. I want to see it, no, but that is, so, that's a cool idea.
Like I said, I sampled that pregame show enough to be just wanting to retch in my mouth.
So, Murray, when you say superimpose, you mean like they do with the first down line in the NFL?
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah, that's cool. I like that.
I mean, the whole thing with the TNT, it's Kenny Smith, right? I keep saying that the TNT thing is because they say things. No one on planet Earth said before the thing started, well, let's go get Kenny Smith. He'll really, no one knew. He just got out there and performed and is excellent at what he does. And Barkley was a great ball player and was, you know, a rabble rouser in his time as a player. But that doesn't mean anything until he got out there and was a really good analyst who said edgy, thought-provoking stuff. And you throw that next to Kenny Smith and then Shaq has his thing too. And like, it's just an excellent mix and they get after it. But they don't start with the name. Oh, but on hockey, did I mention we have Wayne Gretzky? We have Wayne Gretzky here. He's the greatest of all time. How do you feel, Wayne? Isn't this a neat thing that the kid scored his first goal in front of Wayne Gretzky? He didn't score in front of him. He's outside on the panel. I was like, it's like, are you going to do that the whole year? Just say, we have Wayne Gretzky. Like, big whoop, you have Wayne Gretzky. Who cares? Is he going to say anything? How long is that going to last? Oh, feh. And I say this after watching only about like 2 minutes of it, but it was enough for me to say, all right, I got it. Please.
You know, Murray, if they had Paulina, now we'd be talking.
You beat me to it. I was going to say, put the daughter on the set.
You want to get young people interested? Put Paulina out there.
I blame the TV executives. It's like,
with good reason.
Guys.
With good reason.
Just throwing out an ex-athlete because he has a name, what does that do? The guy actually has to perform the job, which means he has to say things that are insightful or edgy, hopefully both. So it doesn't matter if you have Wayne Gretzky or Harry Schmedlap. The guy has to be good at his job. The name is not, people don't tune in for the name. I don't. Not many people do. If the guy doesn't say anything, what's the diff?
Who's hot right now? Who's got a good Q rating?
Oh, let's look at someone from Barstool. Oh, what are they doing on TikTok? Let's put one of those TikTok kids on here. Get the young demo. Oh,
you 3 million followers. That's who we should hire.
You freaking idiot. Why don't you get someone who's talented and then hopefully people will tune into them. They're not going to follow you off of TikTok, and they're not going to follow you off of YouTube. Did I tell you I had a rant on that? I do.
No, I like it.
Oh, by the way, hold on. So this is the TNT music, though, is pretty good. Give me the TNT theme.
This is also an important game.
So it's good theme music.
I like it.
Yeah, no, the TNT, it was the best part of the thing. And
this is an important game on TNT.
I love Eddie Olchuk. So, like, the broadcast is sounded good, but it's the same. It's really the same as the NBC. Kenny Albert, Eddie Olchuk, Keith Jones. Or Kenny Jones, whatever.
Keith Jones.
Keith Jones. So it's like, all right, I've heard this. That was no different. The ESPN sounds different with McDonough on it. And they're trying some new stuff with I Like. But, oh, TNT, please. Get someone out there that's going to say something and criticize someone. Because that's the only time it works. All right, so there's that.
You see, they had Wayne Gretzky.
Oh, did I mention we have Wayne Gretzky here? That's the whole show. Oh, fah. Let's talk some Red Sox, shall we?
Yeah, sure.
And we'll take your calls on Patriots and the Bruins and all this stuff. But we'll introduce our Red Sox topics of the day after Murray's 90-second update. No commercials. Oh, there are some breaking Celtics news. Guess who's already missing planes?
Wayne Gretzky?
Details here.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.